Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Welcome to the Firehouse Magazine Insider for the August 2012 issue of Firehouse. I'm Elizabeth Narulis, Managing Editor, and we'll be talking with Barry Fury, Director of the Raleigh Wake Emergency Communications Center in North Carolina, about his Fire Dispatch article, Security 2012, More Than a Lock and Key, which appears in the August issue of the magazine. Barry, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Elizabeth.
We'd just like to ask you a few questions about the article. For starters, how big is the problem of cybersecurity for the fire service?
I think part of the problem is that nobody knows how big the problem is. But if you take a look at cybersecurity in general, very recently General Keith Alexander, who is head of the National Security Agency, stated that there's been a 17-fold increase in cyber attacks on U.S. infrastructure between 2009 and 2011. That's 17-fold, not just 17%. So certainly the threats are out there, and one really only has to listen or look at the news recently to see how many corporate and bank sites have been compromised by hackers. So certainly the threat's there.
What kind of information does the average fire department have that it needs to protect?
Well, probably more than you would think, and that falls into several different categories. First of all, there may be information that really applies to the members of service. That could be, for example, Social Security numbers are routinely maintained in both career and volunteer fire departments as part of the record keeping system. There might also even be bank account numbers and bank routing numbers in agencies that provided direct deposits for their employees. So there's certainly enough on the member of service side to provide fodder for identity theft. With regard to the citizen side, as more and more agencies become involved in emergency medical responses, there may be medical information that certainly should not be made public. There may even be billing information that would not normally be made public. And then, of course, there's also security information regarding the buildings to which we respond.
Are pre-plans and that sort of thing included in that?
To a degree, certainly pre-plans would be included in that, but some agencies might also, in their computer-aided dispatch or records management system, contain security codes that open gates and secure areas.
Oh, right. And has this become such a growing problem?
As more and more fire departments move to computerization and more records are computerized, certainly this increases the exposure and liability. Any fire department who has a web presence, and the majority of fire departments in this country do have a web presence, obviously has the potential for a security breach from the World Wide Web. Also, the devices that we use now, many of them are interlinked. In the past, telephones were separate devices. Computers were separate devices, radios were separate devices. Now in a typical dispatch center of a fire department, all of these items are tied together. So if one system is compromised, it's quite possible that 3, 4, 5, 6, or any number of other systems could also be compromised by the same attack.
Wow. And what could be done to improve the security?
Well, obviously there are several things that can be done because the threats come from both the inside and on the outside. On the inside, some very simple things are making sure that users change their passwords frequently, that they don't use simple passwords, and that they don't write them down and put them on a sticky note under their keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving workstations unattended is also something that should be frowned upon. If you are logged into a critical application, certainly you shouldn't walk away and leave the workstation unattended for hours on end. And then there's a review of all your personnel practices and records. You have to start certainly a security program or pre-plan within your organization, just as you would pre-plan, for a large incident. Who needs access to what? You need to make sure that, for example, employees who are no longer part of the agency, that their passwords and that their records are deleted. Externally, many of the same things that folks are advised to do at home kind of fall into play. Antivirus software, firewalls, and even more than that, some sort of a system or routine that periodically checks and prints out to a live human being information on any potential threats that have been detected.
Is there a bigger threat from the externally rather than internally, or are they pretty equal?
I think that is really situational, and maybe the types of threats are a little bit different, because the two type of threats that are out there really are what I would consider to be either malware, which would also talk about the potential of destruction or corruption of data, and the other is information theft. It depends upon each situation what type of breach of security we're talking about here, but you might have a disgruntled employee, for example, who upon learning they're going to be terminated could intentionally try to corrupt data in the computer system. On the other hand, you might have someone externally who realized that you did have personnel records and was engaged in identity theft and was interested in getting that type of information. So I think it really depends upon the situation, but really, you know, the biggest threat turns out to be the next one that you have to face.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. You can find Fire Dispatch on page 94 of the August issue of Firehouse Magazine. Look for links to this article and the entire issue of the magazine on the podcast player page.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.